In this message today, we're going to be talking about the Ishmael spirit. In fact, usually it's just described as a man, but Barbara, I really believe that we're talking about a spirit here, and I am going to pray before we begin because this is kind of in-your-face type message. And I've tried to share some of these truths with people, and I have to tell you, I've had almost 100% failure. Usually I'm talking to a parent that has an Ishmael in their house, and they don't admit it and don't want to admit it. But let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, and we thank you for the precious gift of Holy Spirit, who brings us wisdom, counsel, understanding, and revelation knowledge. Lord, I don't believe we can discern the Ishmael spirit by reason. We have to have the spirit of revelation coming to us to really open up the Word and the mysteries in the Word to show us what really we have that's on our hands, in our families, up in our face. And I thank you today that you're going to help us rightly divide the Word of truth. Amen.
Amen. Well, Darren, we talk a lot about the Jezebel spirit because the Jezebel spirit was operating in an older woman. And so we look at that and we have talked about Jezebel for years and years, especially in charismatic circles, and studied the Jezebel spirit. But when you talk about an Ishmael spirit, which you are the first one that I have ever heard talk about an Ishmael spirit, well, that's up in your face because it's talking about children. It's talking about a son or a daughter in a family who, as we're going to go on in this lesson, we're going to describe, and people say, oh, no, we couldn't possibly have evil spirits in our children. But this is very much a spirit that I believe is going on today.
Unfortunately, it's alive and well in a lot of families. But, you know, you mentioned that usually a Jezebel spirit is in an older woman. But the other night we were in a restaurant, and across from us, we were with another couple, but across the aisle from us here in this restaurant, there was a family of eight. There were four kids and four adults. This little four-year-old girl, I'm sure, was a Jezebel because she ran the whole show. And everybody capitulated to what she wanted. Mm-hmm. She was running this show. Mm-hmm. And she was the youngest in the whole group. But there was a spirit driving this little kid, and the parents were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do with her. And on top of that, she was extraordinarily beautiful. And that certainly complicated the situation. But let's get back here and talk about a Ishmael spirit. And I want to read a scripture here out of 1 John 5. In verse 19, it says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, the eternal life." I believe that God can give us understanding of Scripture. And Barbara, the more I read Scripture, the more I watch human nature, I believe there is no way that we can get to where we want to go today, and certainly in our Christian walk, without the revelation power of God, we won't understand Scripture. That's right. We're only going to get there not by willpower, but by revelation knowledge. And I think of that scripture I quote often, Romans 8:6, "The mindset on the flesh is death, the mindset on the spirit is life and peace." To understand this revelation about the Ishmael spirit, we must have the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit of God.
Well, and I'm so thankful that in Isaiah 11:2, God literally takes it out of our hands when he introduces a spirit of revelation knowledge. Now, he talks about wisdom and understanding, and most of us say, oh, yes, I'm wise because I've had an education. I have a master's. I have a doctorate. I'm wise because I am very literate. I read a lot of books. But all of these spirits, Darren, come from the very mind of Father God, and we must give him all the honor and glory for this and nothing of our own.
You mean all the spirits that come from Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Right.
And especially revelation knowledge. We have to, we kind of let go of that one because that's totally from a spiritual context. And we know that it comes only from Holy Spirit and Father God. So I'm so thankful for Isaiah 11:2 that does have revelation knowledge right in the middle of all the spirits.
Well, you know, recently I put in the Freedom Magazine an article, and I entitled it this way, "Is there an Ishmael in your house?" Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that to those that are listening to this message today. Is there or could there be an Ishmael in your house? And if there is, let's face it, and let's deal with it, but not through reason, but through revelation knowledge of Holy Spirit that will show us how to really deal with this situation. But we have some background in Scripture. We want to go back in the book of Genesis, and Barbara going to read to us.
Yes. Now, in Genesis 15, Darren, Father God comes to Abram This is before his name was changed, in a vision. And he says, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Then he goes on to explain that, Abram was an old man. His wife, Sarai, was also old in her age. She had never borne him a child. Now, it had been a serious thing for them, but now he was in his, 80s, and just had not had any children at all. He asked God, when God says, your reward shall be very great, he said, shall the heir of my house be Eliezer of Damascus? And that was one of his servants, probably his best servant. And the Lord says, no, it will be from you. Your offspring will come from your body. Now, probably after the covenant was made with God, and God made a covenant with Abram here in chapter 15, where he brought three heifers and three-year-old female goat, three-year-old ram, turtle doves, and young pigeons, and he cut them all except the birds, and God passed through them and made a covenant with Abram. And he must have gone home to Sarai and said, "Sarai, God is going to give us descendants from my own body," because this got her thinking, well, we'd better do it now, do it quickly. So she brings her maid, Hagar, to Abram, her husband, and encourages him to have sexual relations with her so he can have an heir from his own body. This was not God's plan, Darren. God wanted to have a child between Sarai and Abram.
Well, I think of the focus here in verse 2 of chapter 16. Sarai said to Abraham, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Perhaps go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children through her." Now, what I believe would have been more appropriate, and I know I'm judging them here, we have revelation knowledge and she didn't have. We have Holy Spirit and she didn't have. But she could have and probably should have said, "Perhaps I shall obtain children or heirs for you through her." But
yes,
she was self-focused, as many of the women were in the Old Testament, because their whole meaning in life was to have children. That was their deal.
Mm-hmm. And here, Abram, because the man in the Old Testament was the authority figure, he had the say, basically, generally speaking. He could have said, "No, Sarai, I'm not going to do that. I've listened to the Lord. The Lord told me that it was going to be a child, and I believe it's going to be between you and me." But he listened to the voice of Sarai, and I can see where humanly you do listen to someone when you're, in your 80s.
Well, these people were growing in their relationship with God. For example, in verse 15, it says, "So shall your descendants be," and Abraham believed God. God was saying, "You're going to have a family." And he was saying, "Man, I'm 86 years old or 85 years old. I'm an old man." Well, and yet it was accounted to him at that point as
righteousness.
He was
yes.
declared righteous, the father of faith here, because he was believing God. And we have to remember, too, and cut Abraham a little slack, or Abram at this point, his name had not yet been changed. He came out of an idol-making family, mm-hmm. and God was removing him from the land far east to where he was now, and God was beginning to develop relationship with Abraham here, mm-hmm. or Abram, I should say. I'm still trying to jump forward in history here.
It's hard to
but
say Abram.
I believe that when we look at that, and on one hand, we have to have great admiration, but on the other hand, we need to look and say, well, what were the spiritual implications of what was going on here?
Yes, and severe consequences here. Now, she wanted him to have a child, and she wanted to have a child. So here she presents Hagar, not realizing what the consequences are going to be when Hagar becomes pregnant, which she does, Darren, by Abram. And then here comes a jealousy thing, just overwhelmingly probably with Sarai, because she could never bear children. And all of a sudden, Hagar is presented with great favor by Abram because she's carrying his child. So here erupts, like you say in the magazine, a cat fight.
Amen. Amen.
All cat fights, yes. And she comes to Abram complaining of Hagar. And probably Hagar, was taunting her with gestures and looks like, "I'm pregnant and you're not, and Abram loves me more than he loves you." And
look what I'm doing for Abraham.
Oh, yes, yes. Abram. So Sarai in the fifth verse of chapter 16 says, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." And Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." And so Sarai because of her great emotions involved here, she sent Hagar away.
Yeah, but see, she had really brought the battle to the cutting edge, so to speak. She said to Abraham, "You have to choose between her or me."
Yes.
Well, what choice did